Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast. I'm Stephanie Laska, best-selling author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, professor of sociology. We believe there are many paths, often unconventional, to achieve your goals. But we get stuck thinking we have to follow experts and fixed set of rules.
Well, as the leader of the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group with over 200,000 members, I see people are hungry for a fresh approach, not just for weight loss, but to help live their very best life. Season 2 of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast will provide lifestyle advice, lots of fun support, and practical tips to help you at home. Because you know what? You don't have to be perfect to be successful. Join us.
Today's special Valentine's episode will explore adult-related topics. If you normally listen to our show in a public space, like with young kids in the car, today you might think about wearing headphones.
And today's episode features an interview with my friend Lisa Davis, popular podcast host and author of the recently published book, some say a little controversial, called Clean Eating, Dirty Sex.
Love that title.
And I'm here with my co-host, Tamara, who is dying to ask the first question. Go ahead, Tamara.
Okay, Lisa, thanks so much for coming to be with us today.
Oh, thank you.
We'd love for you to just start right off talking about the title of your book. So do people make assumptions when they hear that title?
Well, you know, it's so funny because my intention was there's nothing dirty in the book. And people might say, well, why did you say dirty sex? I grew up in a family that loves puns, that loves wordplay. So clean eating, dirty sex. So I thought it was funny. You know, when I get a reaction where somebody laughs, I know that they get it. When I get a reaction where someone's like, oh, I'm like, no. And I'll give you an example. So a friend of mine, her daughter, she couldn't find her. And her daughter's 11 and she's looking all around the house and she finally finds her. She's in a closet with a flashlight looking at the book and she looks at her mom and says, Mom, this is just a health book, and got really upset. But there is stuff on female anatomy and there's stuff on, you know, best sexual positions for a woman's pleasure. But most of the book, honestly, is about how to live your healthiest life overall. And even if you're celibate, the book is for you. I just think it's sad that our society gets so uptight about talking about sex and sexual health that it's become taboo when it's a really important part of a healthy, you know, romantic relationship.
And you know what? We totally agree. And, you know, here in our podcast, our goal is to help our listeners to lead their very best lives. And so even though I feel like maybe you're views on nutrition might be different from mine, you know, with Dirty Lazy Keto, I do feel like, Lisa, you and I are on the complete same page because we're trying to help our readers improve their lives through food.
Right.
So my question to you, Lisa, is what would you say then to a listener who might be nervous about the eating clean part of your book? Like, can they still benefit from your advice?
Oh, definitely. I mean, what I did was I reached out to over 40 health experts, which I would say most of them are more in the keto paleo camp, or probably more paleo. And so if you're already leaning that way, I would think if you're, you know, listening to this show, I think it would be great. I'm not all or nothing. You know, I mean, when you came on my show, Talk Healthy Today, we talked about that. Like at first when you said Splenda, I was like, ah, but then I had to get over myself. And realize that, you know, people need to do what they need to do. So I don't think so, because I think what you can do is you can take it in stride. You know, I want people to eat more healthy fats. I'm like the queen of healthy fats. So I don't think I'm that different in terms of, like, for the example, the recipes, there's over 50 recipes. Only one has grains, which is quinoa. I think the rest are like zoodles and spaghetti squash and lots of good fats and some chicken. And there's only one beef recipe, it's beef broth. There isn't any dairy. Because for me, I'm not a big fan of dairy, but I know that a lot of people do like it. And I know that in your book, it's popular. And if you can tolerate dairy, I think that's great. I can't, unfortunately. But I think what you can do is you can pick and choose what works for you. And that's what you have to do in any health plan, right? And you have to, you know, my big goal is to meet people where they're at. You know, I have a master's in public health, and that's the first thing we learned. So if you have a house full of junk and I come in and I'm like, everything has to be clean, you're going to kick me out of the house, right? So you have to, and I'm sure you guys know, you know, you have to approach it in a way that works for the person.
I love that approach. And you mentioned your podcast. So you're not only an author, but you actually have quite a presence in the podcast world. Can you tell our listeners, like,
where your voice is heard. And also another question to tag on there is, do you prefer to be the one talking or asking the questions?
You know, it's funny. I usually prefer to be the one asking the questions because I got into health media in 1997. It was part of when I got my master's degree, there was a health communications class. And I'm like, oh my God, I found my passion. This is what I want to do. Because before that, I had done a lot of health ed one-on-one and in groups. And so when I finished school, make a long story short, I volunteered at a community TV station for a year. And then I took all those videotapes, yes, videotapes, and I brought it to a local station that had a business show and an entertainment show. And I thought, they need a health show. So I bugged the guy for 6 months, like once a month. And he finally, he's like, if I like the show, we'll do one episode. If we'd like it, we'll pick it up. So I did that for 2 years. It was called Health Power. And from there, the station got sold and I was sort of out of it. And then in 2009, a friend of mine was like, hey, there's this opening at this community radio station. It doesn't pay, but it's a really coveted slot because you can do whatever you want in terms of health and it's your show. And I thought, wow, this is radio. And I went, oh my gosh, if I'm on the radio, I can talk to anybody I want. It doesn't have to be in person. Opens up a whole new world. And so I did it. And I did that for several years. And eventually I got that show. It's called It's Your Health. I got it on regional NPR on two stations in Texas. And then unfortunately, just last year, that station was sold, but I did it for about 6 years. And then I also around that time started a podcast that I still do called Naturally Savvy Radio. And then I do a show with AIM Media. They do Clean Eating Magazine, Vegetarian Times, Yoga Journal, Better Nutrition, and some others called Talk Healthy Today. That was a long answer. I'm really good.
Hey, I'm impressed. That's why I wanted to hear a little bit more about that. Now, Lisa, I know if just from looking at your presence online, you really have talked to some pretty exciting people, maybe some celebrities. And I have to ask, can you name drop some of your favorites? Oh, for our listeners, because we all love those juicy stories.
Oh, yes. Well, my first favorite was Henry Winkler. You know, when anybody you talk to and every famous person I talk to, I swear they'll be like, oh, I saw you or oh, I heard you interview Henry Winkler or I saw your site and there's Henry, because he's just a mensch. And for people who don't know that word in Yiddish, it's like just a good person. And he is. He's just the absolute sweetest guy. The other one that was really amazing, and this was in person, most of these are over the phone, is last year in New York, I got to meet Scott Foley. And his mother died of ovarian cancer when he was 15. Mine died from ovarian cancer when I was 28. And we were just like sitting, like looking at each other on this couch and I'm talking to him and we're both teared up and it was just beautiful. Another one I really enjoyed was with Judith Light. I think she is such a dynamo. I just love her. And I think what's fun is if one of the things I try to do with celebrities is I try to bring up a role that, you know, she's mainly known, like people think of Who's the Boss, if you're old like me, you know, from from the 1980s. But she was on Ugly Betty, which is one of my all-time favorite shows. And you could just hear it in her voice, you know. Another one was Marilu Henner. And I brought up that my favorite scene on Taxi was with, the guy with the mustache, Magnum P.I. What? I can't believe, Tom Selleck. And I told her that I had met Tom Selleck when I was living in Hawaii many years ago. And I said to him, I loved you on Taxi. And his face was like, oh my God, wow, that was such a special memory to me. Thank you for bringing that up because everyone's like, I love you on Magnum PI. So I try to like get them to open up by showing them like, I've actually researched who you are. You know, I do that with everybody, by the way, not just celebrities. And that's something that I take pride in is really knowing who I'm talking with.
One of the things I liked about your book was that you don't, it's not just about a particular food or even food in general. I mean, you talk about other things surrounding that. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was that you grew up in a household where your mom ran a health food store. Mm. And I'm wondering, you know, what that was like and how that impacted you today.
Well, you know, it's funny. She didn't run one. That would have been interesting. But she did. Well, no, but she did take me. I do share stories where she took me to this family-owned health food store on Saturdays. And I swear, it really did smell like cardboard and carob. And in the 70s, it wasn't like today, which I talk about in the book. I mean, there's just so many choices and there's so many interesting foods. Then it was like, okay, we're going to get some bulgur and some millet and some raw almonds and here's some carob. And then she would, for a treat, she would split a Tiger's Milk bar with me, which is like this tiny little bar. the first place. I'm like, seriously, mom? And so I rebelled and I ate as much junk as possible. And I hope you get the book, because to me, that my favorite part of the book is the memoir stories. I mean, I really go deep into some traumatic thing that happened and some things that are funny and some things that kind of shaped why I wanted to do a book both about clean eating, because I share my story of dirty eating, and then having better sexual health because I didn't have a good relationship.
Do you want to tell us more about that?
Sure. Well, I was just a skinny, awkward kid who not only got picked last in gym, but they fought over who got stuck with me. And this went on from like sixth grade till high school. So it really, you start to feel like a loser. And when people basically call you a loser and treat you that way. So I had very low self-esteem. When I was 17, I went from like having the figure of an 11-year-old prepubescent boy to like Elle McPherson, like the bod. Everyone, you know, called her the bod. And people thought I had breast implants, and people thought, you know, and this was in the 80s. I'm like, no. I mean, people did get them, but I'm, you know, 17. I'm not off seeing the plastic surgeon. At any rate, I suddenly got male attention that I'd never gotten before. And so I started feeling like, oh, well, if I can get enough guys to sleep with me, then I'm not really that loser. And that went on through my 20s off and on. And then I, thank God, eventually got therapy. So I wanted to do something where I was able to come out.
Well, there, I appreciate you sharing such intimate details. I know on our podcast, Tamara and I have both talked about therapy and just really opening up about our turning points.
Yeah. And just being vulnerable. And it's not easy to do, but I think that's the most memorable parts of your book, actually, like you said, are the, you know, moments when you share these, you know, stories. That's great.
Thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And the other thing I love too is I want to give credit to Erin MacDonald. She's a registered dietitian. She does recipe development. She's the nutritionist dietitian for Clean Eating Magazine. She runs their Clean Eating Academy, and she did all the recipes. So I said, look, here's a list of foods that are scientifically shown to be good for your sexual health, which if people are wondering, that's just food with nitric oxide, which helps the blood vessels dilate, foods that are full of flavonoids and antioxidants and healthy fats. And she just came up with such good recipes. And I think for your keto folks, other than the desserts, because they do have some sugar, very low amounts and a little bit of maple syrup here and there. I think they can do them. And the one thing I don't know is Splenda, like how does, if someone wants to use Splenda, let's say, how does that convert with like regular sugar or, you know, a third of a cup of maple syrup? Because I'd love for people to try the recipes and kind of play around, but that's something I have to be honest. I don't know.
Not that I'm an expert on all sugar substitutes because they're all different. You know, I certainly consult the websites of the, you know, monk fruit or whatever Splenda you're using. But, you know, a lot of our listeners don't use sugar substitutes. I think that's a myth about dirty, lazy keto. Okay. A lot of our listeners are strict keto and very clean eating, but they just want like a non-judgmental zone,
right,
where they can maybe have a Diet Coke once in a while or drink a beer. Or, you know, it's not necessarily that they're using those substitutes. It's just that they want a more flexible approach to eating.
Right. No, that's
so they may still find your recipes, you know, interesting and something worthy of exploring.
Yeah, I hope they do. Because like I said, other than desserts, you're not going to find sugar. I mean, they're very paleo, which I know.
Back up just a second. You said you gave your nutritionist a list of foods that, you know, improve sexual health.
Yeah.
Give us a few, like what foods should we be eating to feel better sexually?
All right. So one of them is berries. Berries are amazing. There was this doctor, Joel Kahn, that I interviewed. And even though he's like a strict vegan and we're not on the same page with that, what I love about him is he calls, for his patients, he calls strawberries, screwberries, and blueberries, blowberries, because he really highly recommends that people are eating these foods. And you know what's nice is there's a whole list in the book of foods that are good for your sexual health as well. Another one is nuts, you know, because you want to get those healthy fats, because healthy fats are really crucial in terms of sex hormones. So you want to make sure that you're getting those really good healthy fats. Another one that's interesting is asparagus. It has the right vitamins and the right antioxidants to really help boost that. Another one is dark chocolate. I mean, that's a win, right? Apples are also good. Yams are good. Leafy green vegetables are good. So if you're thinking just, you know, a lot of foods that are high in antioxidants, flavonoids, which are basically just, you know, the diverse group of phytonutrients, they're found in almost all fruits and vegetables. And antioxidants, you know, they clean up those free radicals that cause inflammation. And the whole thing is about blood flow, right? It's about having healthy sexual health, having that good fat, and then getting those blood vessels to dilate. That's why nitric oxide is so awesome. Watermelon, by the way, is referred to as a natural Viagra, because it has something called L-citrulline that converts to nitric oxide. Every time I do an interview, my husband's like, honey, don't get so into the science. I'm like, I think it's cool, you know, shows I did my homework. But anyway, those are some of the foods, but there's a full list in the book, Clean Eating, Dirty Sex. Again, not about dirty sex, unless you think like, you know, knowing more about your clitoris is dirty. I guess, I don't know, maybe that is, but I think it's pretty
cool. So for Valentine's Day, they can get your book and plan. It sounds like we should plan a meal with watermelon, apples and berries, yes, and asparagus. That'd be awesome.
Me, doesn't that sound good?
We'll put that on the menu.
And don't forget the nuts, right? And chia seeds are good. Cayenne is good too. That helps with your blood circulation. Ginger is good. Grass-fed beef is good because it's got niacin, and that's a good blood flow booster. You know, there's so many things. And what I'm really trying to get across to people is that, you know, people, you can just pop the Viagra, but why not actually change your lifestyle? And there's a guy in the book, by the way, Mark Ramirez, who lost a ton of weight, reverses diabetes, got off all the medications, reversed his erectile dysfunction. Now he travels around the country. He's in his 50s. He looks amazing. And
that's amazing.
He's just so much happier.
And I know some of our listeners too that are, you know, coming from the dirty, lazy keto world, they might be curious which one of those foods you recommended would be lower in sugar or would still meet their criteria. I just want to reassure all of our listeners that every single one of the foods you listed, except for the yams, yeah, that would probably be a little bit too high. And maybe even apples and sugar or apples and watermelon might be too high. But every other food you listed is something that our listeners can benefit from. The chia, the dark chocolate, the leafy greens, the nuts, the berries, the asparagus, the ginger, the beef. So they always do follow up with emails to us like, can I eat that? And yes, you can.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And if you see the whole list, you'll see there's even more keto-friendly foods that you can have.
Well, one thing I really connected with your book, Lisa, is just I felt there was a connection about wanting your readers to feel good about themselves in their skin. Not so much about like, you know, the blood flow and the hormones, but just feeling good about yourself. So that way you're more prepared to have intimate relationships. Was that one of your goals as well?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's a whole chapter on skincare. Susan Seminelli, who's wonderful, she actually has a wonderful skincare line. And David Pollack also has some great skincare lines. I interview him. I think it's really important to feel confident. And I don't like that whole thing of like, well, you have to be a certain size. You have to have, you know, if you have like I have keratosis pilaris, you know, those like little bumps you get on your arms. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I can't stand those. But yet, I'm not going to not have sex because of it. I'm just going to, you know, try to make myself feel better with some fun lingerie or maybe try a different dry brushing or something, which I talk about in the book. But yeah, I want people to feel comfortable where they are now. You know, one of those things that drive me nuts, and this was one of these shows, I forgot which one it was several years ago. And they're like, here's, you know, when you lose the weight, you can wear this dress. You win. And it's like, well, why can't you wear a nice dress when you're heavy? Like you have to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it really bothers me. Like have pride and feel good about yourself. And while you're trying to reach your goals, instead of just like making it like, I have to be a schlub until I'm a size 4. And by the way, we're not all meant to be. I'm a size 12, 10 to 12. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, eating a berry isn't going to instantly, you know, improve your sex life.
Oh, no.
Right? And that's what I like about your book is that you're willing to say it's more complicated than that. And you're looking at other things like your confidence and your hormones and all those other, you know, issues that we don't want to ignore either. So I like that.
Right.
And you do draw on so much research. It just as an academic, I really love that part of your book as well.
I'm glad. And there's a whole thing in there about perimenopause. Because let me tell you, when I hit perimenopause, like 43 on the dot, and I became a monster. I was so irritable and I was breaking out and I was sweaty. It was just a disaster. And then we talk about and how that affects your, you know, your sex life. And then we talk about there's a great great information from Candace Burch. She's a hormone educator about perimenopause and what happened, you know, where'd my libido go? And then there's information on sleep and de-stressing. And I think one of my favorite things about the book, other than the memoir, is that I touch on trauma, with Dr. Margaret Paul, who's incredible. And I think that, you know, if you can eat all the berries, do all the fitness, do the communication, feel better about yourself. But if you're still having trauma that makes it difficult for you to open up with your partner in a sexual way, you need to get that addressed. I mean, you need to get it addressed anyway. But I think that's something that's sometimes lacking. So yeah, you can eat a handful of berries every day, but it takes more than that.
Right. And I agree with you. I mean, that's one of our goals here at the podcast, is to help people with lifestyle changes to help them to achieve their goals. And it's, you know, not just about like changing your eating habits. It's about addressing the whole person. And that's what really matters.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's what, you know, I wish I could, I don't want to change the title because it got me some really great interviews, and being here is so awesome because I know people who have that sense of humor, like they get it. But I just feel badly that I feel like people aren't giving it a chance. You know, don't judge a book by its cover.
Hey, that's good advice for life.
Yeah. And right. Do you have any final advice for our listeners that you want them to take away?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too, one last thing that I love in the book is Dr. Pankaj Vij. He's an incredible MD. He's like the dream MD who looks at, you know, the whole person, even though he's Western medicine, takes a holistic look. And he talks about finding your why. There's a whole chapter on motivation. It's also got the wonderful Beth Frades, MD. She teaches at Harvard, and she's a lifestyle medicine doctor. And Dr. Denise McDermott, who's a holistic psychiatrist, and Lori Shemek. There's just so many great people in the book. And they talk about the importance of motivation, but I like the finding your why, which is really like, why do I want to change? What's going on in my life? And how am I going to really make my goals versus just this like a temporary thing?
Those are words to live by. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for coming on our show today. It has been a lot of fun and I learned a lot. I wrote down all those foods. So I'm going to have a good Valentine's Day this year. And listeners, you can find Clean Eating, Dirty Sex by Lisa Davis online and in stores everywhere. Her advice can really help you spice it up for Valentine's Day and just to feel good about yourself on a daily basis.
So can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, you can find my two podcasts, my book, Clean Eating, Dirty Sex, all the interviews with Scott Foley and Judith Light and Henry Winkler and thousands of other people. If you go to www.lisadavismph.com.
Nice.
Perfect. Well, we hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day and we appreciate all of your advice because we know that feeling romantic starts from within.
It does. Thank you, Lisa.
You gals are so great. If you ever want a third co-host, I know that's like a lot.
We'd have to figure out how to plug in two or three microphones. You might push us to the next level.
Oh, we'd love that though.
But we'd love it.
All right, gals. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast.
And don't forget to visit DirtyLazyKeto.com, where you can join the conversation and gain access to all kinds of free content to help you on your Dirty Lazy journey.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider supporting us by subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Be sure to stay tuned for our next Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, where we give you even more tips and support.
You don't have to be perfect to be successful.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.